Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. What is going down?
Shitting weather.
Honestly. Do you know what? When Mal rings you, does he say, what the hell is going down?
Yeah, all the time. I like you it, actually.
You know what? He doesn't do that with Matthew. I think it's just a like biological child
thing. I think it's just a daughter thing. Because he probably doesn't do it to James either. Because James is like, what the fuck do you want, Mal?
Just quickly, we've got a lot of new listeners. We should let people know who Mal is, shouldn't we? If you ever hear us talking about... Firstly, welcome to the new people that have joined us. We are so pleased to have you part of the crew.
And honestly, a lot of these have come back from the old Hirons. Yeah, so
firstly,
welcome.
Where the fucking hell have you been for the past year?
Why
are you only just finding us?
Although
secondly,
we are pleased you found us and
you're more
are
than
now
welcome.
Sticking around. It's great.
And if you hear us talk about Mal and Margs, that is Mum and Dad.
Yeah.
Just the other people that we talk about. So I will call him Matthew, Ange will call him Marty. Like, why does she call me Patty? Whatever.
Yeah.
That's my husband. Ian is Ange's husband. And then Joel and Ellen are Ange's kids.
Yeah.
It's the whole lowdown.
Although Ellen is actually known as Nella. So it'll be Joel and Nella.
Yeah.
What I did think, though, Pats, was, being as it was the old Father's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
I've done a little bit of research this morning. You know, I like to do a bit of research sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Go on,
and I thought I could tell you a couple of what are currently being deemed as the best dad jokes.
I love a dad joke.
Yeah. Okay. So
I love a dad joke.
I've just picked a Carl out. This one actually was the winning dad joke from
I don't know. I'm gripped. Wherever. I'm locked. I'm ready. Let's go. Dad joke me up.
Okay. I actually don't think this is the best one, but this is what was picked as the winner.
Sure.
I once hired a limo, but when it arrived, the guy driving it walked off. I said, excuse me, are you not going to drive me? The guy told me that the price didn't include a driver. So I'd spent 400 quid on a limo and have nothing to show for it. I mean, it's good. It's good.
That is good. That is good.
My favourite one. A couple of favourite ones here. My favourite one was, what did the daddy buffalo say to his son when he left for work?
I don't know. What did the daddy buffalo say to his son when he left for work?
Bison.
No, that's shit. That's shit.
Bison.
For fuck's sake. No, bison.
The other one I liked. What do you call a zombie who cooks stir fries?
I don't know. What do you call a zombie that cooks stir fries?
Dead man walking. That was quite a good one. Anyway, I just thought, you know, I thought I'll just bring a couple of dad jokes for the older.
Couple of jokes.
Yeah.
I reckon we should ask people to send in their best dad jokes.
Yeah. There we go. Call to action, peeps.
Call to action.
Yeah.
If you've got a really spectacular dad joke this week, get in touch with us. Ange and I will look through them. We'll pick out some of the best ones. I might even put a box up on Instagram asking for your best dad jokes.
Nice, yeah.
There's loads of ways you can get in touch. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
I asked Sean Connery why he went travelling in IKEA for 6 months. He said, I needed to find my shelf. There is something so exciting that you can do for our little podcast, and that is you can vote for us to win the Listener's Choice Award at the British Podcast Awards 2021. It's so simple. You just go to www.britishpodcastawards.com/vote, search Finding the Funny and follow the instructions. Tell your nan, your mum, your dad, your granddad, your brother, your sister, whoever you live with, everyone, get them to vote for Finding the Funny. It would mean the absolute world. Now back to more of the show. Anyway, shall we?
Let's do la big questions. Mixed it up a little bit this week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You went really quite jazz-tastic.
Yeah, groovy.
Yeah, groovy.
Yeah.
Groove nice. Armada. Groove yeah. Armada. What
I'm
going to
try
band.
And do that. I'm going to do that more often.
Anyway, we had a big question in from Sarah on email, and Sarah asked, is your glass half full or half empty?
Do you know what? I am pretty much almost always half full. I think I mean, obviously, you know, not all the time. You know, some days you're like, everything's shit and my glass is actually empty.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing in there. I'm trying to get that last little drop.
The little dribble where you're like, coming, yeah. But on the whole, I think I'm always a glass half full person.
Yeah.
I think. What about
you, Cass? Know what I am. I don't know.
I would say you're more of a half full than half empty.
I would try to be. I think the thing is for me is that I do think there are times in life where you have to. Oh, this is getting quite serious, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, wow, you are really going in now, Pat. Bloody hell.
Well, I think sometimes you have to acknowledge that life doesn't feel great in order to appreciate the half full moments.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to be able to say, my cup feels a bit half empty at the moment and it's a bit shit. And I'm sort of getting through that and I'm working through that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and so I think this whole, like, we talked a little bit about it under toxic positivity, didn't we? This whole, like, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Count your blessings. Yeah. You've got to see. And so I would say I don't think it's bad sometimes to acknowledge that your glass feels half empty.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean,
and that you're working through that.
That's exactly what I was saying. You know, not always can you be in that.
No.
You know, I can, even if things are a bit shit, I can find the positive in it. Or
yeah.
I know that that's life. We can't always be in that mode. But I think if I was to say on the whole.
Yeah, I think
I'm a glass half full person. And actually, I know lots of people who are forever, my glass is half empty. Like,
oh,
always.
God.
Like, you can be having,
God,
like, the best time, the best day,
no,
doing the best thing,
and
it's still, there's still something.
Oh, those people are annoying, aren't they?
That's what I mean. It's like,
perhaps you're on holiday, you know, you're having the time of your life to create, to quote the Swayze, we're having the time of our life.
Yeah.
No. R.I.P.
What was that?
Are you impersonating Swayze aged 100?
My voice went a bit weird there. Sorry about
that. A bit. Yeah, I feel like there are those people, aren't they? And you're like, are you okay? Also, what fucks me off? You know, are you all right? Well, I was. And you're like, oh, God, I shouldn't have asked. I was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was actually doing really well. And then the cat threw up this morning.
Yeah.
So I had to deal with that. There's a lot of people at work, isn't there, sometimes?
Yeah.
The cat threw up this morning, so I had to deal with that. I then had to go and take some stuff back to the post office, went out the house, shut the door, locked myself out.
Yeah.
Had to phone Martin, get him to come
Martin.
Back to let me in. Martin. Like, God, fucking find the half full, love.
Like, just find something that's actually gone well. Like, let's just try and find something in your day that hasn't just been absolutely awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I think you can get a lot of people that are in this constant, my glass is half empty or actually completely empty.
Yeah.
And you can also get a lot of people that are this constant, everything's just bloody wonderful and rosy and fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, so life's great. Like, life is absolutely, look, don't get me wrong. It was, you know, there was a couple of things that happened last week. Yeah. But, you know, on
I
the whole,
got run over by a bus. But thank God I
ended up in hospital for 4 days. Yeah. But actually, what was really great is that I got some time to rest. Mm. Whilst in hospital, I got I really felt like I needed to recharge. Yeah. So, no, fuck off, mate. You had a shit week.
Yeah, it's fine. It was shit. Yeah. Just say that it was shit. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
So I think there is those extremes of people. Yes. But I think on the whole, I think I would very much say we are, I'd say, more glass half full than half empty.
Do you know what I think we are, Ange? Do you know what
we are? What's that? What's that, Pants?
I would say we are just
amazing.
We just appreciate that there's liquid in the glass.
That, do you know? Yes, Pats, you've absolutely.
So I don't think we're either like particularly. We just appreciate what we've got in front of us, and that is that we've got a glass with liquid in. And I think that is what we're good at doing. We're good at saying, I could look at this as being everything's rosy, or I could look at this as being everything's shit.
Yeah.
Or I can just go, God, I'm so lucky. I've got a glass and there's some liquid in it. And that is a great place to be in my life.
You have freaking nailed that, mate. I've nailed that, haven't I? You've spotted that one.
Okay, Ange, what has been getting on your shitting tits?
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Right, now. This came about actually because of a question we had in, or it was a dickish behaviour we had in.
It was a dickish behaviour, yeah.
That came in from Charlotte on Gram, I believe.
Yeah.
And Charlotte basically said the thing, her dickish behaviour is people who put wet cutlery back in the drawer, right?
Yeah,
dicks. Which I'm totally with Charlotte on that. Yeah. But then it actually got me thinking about something that really, really does get on my shitting tits, right?
Okay. So well done, Charlotte, because this has taken us into a whole new realm.
Absolutely.
So well done, Charlotte, on
Thank
the ground.
Thank you, Charlotte, yeah. Because the thing that really pisses me off, right, is people who can't/don't load the dishwasher properly.
Right, this is a bit, now this is going to go fucking viral, because this is, if you thought Hyron's bought us a lot of followers, this is going to go viral.
This is going to go mental, isn't it? This is a massive one, isn't it?
This is huge.
And actually,
Margs, we know you listen, we're talking directly to you.
Margs, right. Now, Margs actually makes that job 100 times harder than it actually is.
Yes.
She'll put shit in, and she knows that she shitted it, right?
Well, when I was at your house last weekend, she actually said, I've packed that for you and you've probably done it wrong.
she said, I know you'll redo it. Right. So I'd kind of forgotten that she'd done it, yeah. That night, I thought, oh yeah, I'll just.
Yeah, I was still there.
Oh yeah.
I was still there.
That's right.
It was about quarter to midnight. You went into the dishwasher, you opened it, and you actually, Joel was sitting there as well, and you put your head in your hand and you went, oh shit, I forgot Mum had done this. Because you were like, I can't go to bed like this.
I cannot stand, like, everything has to be just so before I go to bed. So, so that night, I'm like, right, I'll just shove these bits. And then pulled the drawer open, the bottom drawer, where mainly you sort of your big plates and all that shit goes.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like, I swear, Mum had just gone, just chuck that in there, shut the door.
It's like she'd vomited. It's like she'd vomited a load of plates into the dishwasher. It's like she'd opened it and gone, bleh! That'll do, shut it up. I know you won't be happy with that, Angie. It looks like I vomited.
But it's also, the way she'd done it was harder than if you did it in a way that made sense. Like, you've got the racks, right?
Yeah,
big racks, small racks, big plates, small plates, right?
Exactly.
She'd got some big plates the wrong way in the small bit, a couple the other way in the big bit. Then she chucked a few bowls in just random places. You just sort of think, actually, the way you've done that is harder. Yeah. That takes more skill to do it the right way.
Which, this is weird, because Mum is a fan of a computer game like Tetris. Yes. And packing the dishwasher is basically the real life version of Tetris, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think this is the thing. Mum can do it on a screen.
She can't do it in the dishwasher.
If she had Tetris blocks actually in front of her, physical ones.
Well, if actually the dishwasher was a game and she had all of the crockery and cutlery coming down on the screen, she'd be perfect.
She'd be
put that one over there. Put that one over there. But when she's looking at it,
when it's the physical, real life shit,
she hasn't got a fucking clue.
No.
She's not got a clue, mate.
No. Glasses, the top drawer, glasses and little bowls and shit. I mean, and also, by the time I've reorganised it, I could fit another family's shit in my dishwasher. Mum puts like three glasses in, and that's it. You can't put
it on. What I want to know is from people is who does it mainly in your house. So is it very much a male thing? Because I know that there's some, you know, there are some households that it's like, do not, you know, if you are in a male-female relationship, I know that there's lots of, like, couples, heterosexual couples who are like, don't touch the dishwasher, that's my domain. So in your house, who is it that does that does the dishwasher?
Yeah.
So let's do some dickish behaviour, shall we?
Let's.
We had a dickish behaviour in from Ruth on Instagram, and Ruth said, people who wear their rucksacks on the front, why? And when I read that on Instagram, I absolutely fucking cracked up. Why?
What? I mean,
why?
Do you think it's because, I always thought people did that because of the old...
safety.
Pickpockets and all that. So people were like, well, actually, I'm not having my rucksack on my back, I'm going to have it on my front.
Well, then just get a different bag then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why are you putting a rucksack on your front?
Why are you wearing it like you're wearing a baby?
Yeah. like you're carrying a baby around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're caressing it. Yeah. I also think, I get the pickpocket thing. I mean, I don't really, because I think when I've got a rucksack on, which you know I love.
Patty loves a backpack. In fact, there was this time once for it where we were travelling with James. James is our brother.
Yeah.
Should I explain who James is in case people don't
know? Yeah, probably. You should give a little...
Okay, so we are the sisters of James Corden. So, yeah, when we talk about James, it's him. He's our brother.
Yeah.
And there was just the three of us. Three of us were travelling actually to LA to go and spend some time with him, but we were all together on this flight. And Patty was told she dressed in like just a t-shirt, jeans, and she had this backpack, right? And did you have a cap as well, or a hat?
No, I never wear a cap. I look ridiculous in a cap.
She had, and all the whole flight, I kept thinking, who does?
Well,
Patty
I didn't keep
like?
My backpack on the whole flight.
No, but I think when in the run up to us getting on, I was thinking,
well, we were
who
walking
does she
up
like?
To the plane, but I don't want people to think I sat with the whole flight with my rucksack.
She did. Anyway, she then obviously we're getting off the other side and she puts her backpack back on. And I was like, I know who Patty looks like. And I was like, I said to James, I said, hey, G-Brain, we call him G-Brain. Don't you think Patty looks like the boy from Up? Which he was then
like Russell.
Russell, is that his name? Russell.
Russell yeah.
from the little boy in the film Up.
I look like Russell from Up.
And that's, I think any time you've got a rucksack on, you do look like Russell.
Russell.
All the time.
It's the chubby cheeks, isn't it? It's the chubby cheeks.
I think as well at that point you had much shorter hair.
Shorter hair.
So you just looked
like a crew cut. I look like Russell from when I cut my hair short. And I asked my followers on Instagram today if I should cut my hair. I think this is now the universe telling me I absolutely should not. Because I look less like Russell.
Because you look like Russell from Up.
Yeah. But what I think when you've got a backpack on, I think you would feel somebody going into the bag.
Yeah, but these pickpocketers, Pats. Pickpocketers, Pats. They are stealth.
Yeah.
You know, they get, I mean, sometimes they've taken wallets out of your, you know, like men's jeans. You know, they do it in such a way that you would be completely unaware.
Yeah, but I think
unaware.
With a backpack, like my backpack, you'd have to open a flap,
yeah, well,
undo a zip, get your hand in.
Pats, do not underestimate the power of a pickpocketer. Because I think they
Joe's
do that
saying
stuff.
A mate of mine, Joe's just told us that a mate of his had a watch stolen off of his wrist.
There you go. That's what I mean. So although I don't, I'm right with you. Okay, if you don't want to have a rucksack, backpack, get another
just
bag.
Get a different bag.
Don't be putting that on your front.
No.
Like,
no,
I just don't
like
get why you do
baby.
It.
Baby.
No.
It's, you know, the whole purpose of a backpack.
Yeah.
You know,
it's in the name. Yeah.
It's not a front a tummy pack. Or a tummy pack.
A front pack.
Or a front pack.
Fanny pack.
Oh, you get a fanny
that
pack.
That would make more sense. Yeah, get yourself
you
a fanny pack.
You can hide that under a jumper. Because you can get those really flat ones now.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
like right next to the body.
Or you could be like a real gangster and get a fanny pack but put it over your shoulder. That's what a lot of the gangsters do now, don't they?
Yeah, like a roadman.
Yeah.
Like a roadman. I didn't say roadman. I did say roadman. For fuck's sake.
What, like a roadman?
Oh, God. Well, look, we think people do it to stop pickpockets, but I'm with you, Ruth. Why? Just get another bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't be wearing it as a baby on your front, as a front pack. No. Don't be wearing it as a front pack. No.
Okay, so our don't go there section, Ange, is really, we're going to talk a little bit about something that's been quite difficult for you over the last couple of weeks, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
And we thought we'd tackle the really, I think, misunderstood subject of pet grief.
Very much so.
Because I think there's lots of people until we had a cat who died very suddenly 2 years ago now. Mm. He was fine 1 minute and then basically 48 hours later he was dead. Mm. And it was incredibly traumatic. And then you had something similar recently with your dog, didn't you, with Roxanne. So do you want to tell us what happened to Roxy?
Yeah, so it was... So this happened a couple of weeks ago and it was a Friday morning, but the day before, the Thursday, she'd been absolutely fine, her normal self, like not like she'd been a bit poorly or a bit off colour or any of those things. Got up on the Friday morning and she wasn't right at all. But again, she could have times like that where she just was a bit off colour and, you know, she'd be fine in a few hours. But anyway, she wasn't right and I could tell she, you know, there was something wrong. Anyway, took my daughter to school. So that would arena around sort of 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Came back and I sort of obviously checked on her. She didn't want to drink anything. She wanted anything to eat. I took her outside. So maybe she's going to the toilet. Nothing. So I called the vet and I said, look, I'm not quite sure what's wrong with my dog, but could I get an appointment? And she said, we can see you at 5 o'clock today. So I thought, okay, fine. She might be all right. We might not need it.
Yeah.
Put the phone down. 10 minutes later, I was just about to sit and have my breakfast and she kind of came to the sort of into the lounge, but her legs were all wobbly, her back legs were all wobbly, like she couldn't walk properly. So I was like, okay, this is not right. She can't wait till five. So called the vet back and they said, bring her down at 11. But if in the meantime she gets any worse or you're really concerned about her, just put her in the car and come bring her down.
Yeah.
So I put the phone down. Okay. Again, within another 10 minutes, her breathing sort of started to change and she was just really just wobbly all over, like just couldn't really walk. And I just thought, okay, I've just got to get you to the vet, like something is really wrong here. So picked her up, got in my car, put her on the passenger seat next to me, and I live like a, you know, 2 5-minute drive to the vet. And I actually drove in second gear all the way to the vet because I didn't want to actually take my hand off her. And got to the vets and pulled it in. And because obviously not letting people in, I just sort of got out and went to the window to let them know we were here. I went back to the car and opened the passenger seat. And she just did this big sort of inhale of breath. Mm. And I knew she, and I just, this nurse came out and I just said, she's dying. I know she's dying. Mm. And they took her. And then I just sort of had to wait in the car. And then they came out and took me in and, yeah, basically said by the time they'd got her in, they couldn't find any pulse or any heartbeat, and that they could try and sort of do some things to, you know, revive her or give her adrenaline. And but actually the chances of that making any difference was like 5%. Yeah. And and so basically within the space of an hour on a Friday morning, she died. And I have to say, it's like, I think it's one of the hardest losses I've ever felt. And I say that because I'm so fortunate and grateful that I haven't, you know, I've got both my parents, I've got all my siblings, I'm so fortunate that I've never had to really go through that sort of grief. But I didn't ever think that losing Roxy would hit me and affect me as much as it has. And it's really, really, it's really shocked me how much I've felt that. And and I think you're so right, Pat, in that people who don't have pets or have never had pets don't get it. They won't get it. They don't understand what pets give you in your life and in your home and in your family. Yeah. And so, you know, for some people, when I say I've lost my dog, you know, they kind of, and not intentionally, but they do sort of brush, oh, yeah, well, it's just your dog, you'll be fine, or it's just your cat. You know, they do kind of brush that off. And I think what I've learned through this is how hugely important pets are in your home, in your life, in your heart. Like, I honestly, the grief I have felt in losing her, that whole weekend was awful. Yeah. And then, you know, I had a few days where I was a bit better. And then it was like the following weekend, which would have been like a week, I was just absolutely awful on the Friday, especially, just could not shift this feeling I had of just feeling so sad and missing her so much. And I think as well, like, especially given what we've all lived through in the last 18 months, I think, you know, we've been around a lot more. We've been at home a lot more. And that's not to say that before that, you know, she was just as important then. But I think that thing of she was so part of our family. And then, you know, one minute she's there and the next minute she's gone. And it's been really awful.
Pets are consistent, aren't they? They are constantly there.
Yeah.
You never have a fight with them. You never fall out with them. There's never like, sure, you might be like, shut up, but there's never a cross word said back from them. They are incredibly loyal. And I know when Tetley died, our cats are house cats, you know, that we made that decision and that's what we decided to do for us.
Yeah.
And I just remember the depth of sadness. I've never ever, and like you, very fortunate, I've never lost anybody incredibly significant or close to me. No. So I know I'm saying that from a privileged position.
Yeah, totally.
But I just remember thinking, God, what must it feel like when a parent dies? Because the depth of sadness that I felt when Tetley died, it was unbearable. I took myself back to bed and just cried and cried and cried. And I think there is this sense that they're part of your family, they're in and around you every day, they, you know, they are incredibly loyal, they love you through so much, there is a certain empathy, I think, that comes from animals, and I think people don't fully understand what it's like until it happens.
I saw as well, just this week, John Bishop lost
Yeah.
One of his dogs.
Dogs.
And the things he was posting about just kind of just made me just think, okay, there is someone else. I'm sure there are lots of people who get it, who understand how. Yeah. But yeah, when he was writing about his dog, that I just remember feeling exactly the same and just thinking, oh, I know how sad and heartbroken you feel today.
Yeah.
And I think you're so right in that they just love you unconditionally.
Absolutely.
You
know, there's no love like it.
No. And, you know, the whole thing of like walking back into the first time I had to walk back into the house. God, everyone else was at, you know, school, college, work. It was just me. And I think maybe it's hit me a bit harder because I was here. So, you know, I work from home. She would just be my shadow. And then all of a sudden you're like, she's not here. So yeah, it was really, really awful. And obviously, you know, my children, Joel and Ella, they just were just absolutely heartbroken when it happened.
But what I did say to you, which I think this episode has proved, is that this is excellent podcast fodder.
That was the first thing she said.
It wasn't the first thing.
I'm really sorry, but
no, absolutely wasn't the first thing I said. But a few hours in, or like maybe the next day, I think it was the Saturday, wasn't it? Roxy died on the Friday, and we spoke on the Saturday, and we were just chatting, and you'd had a little bit of a cry on the phone with me, and then and I said, look, Andrew, what you got to think of, right? This is excellent podcast fodder. This is the vulnerability from you that we've been needing, and here it is,
and here we are.
Here it is.
Yeah. I mean, even shed a few tears on it. I mean, that is unheard of. Yeah.
That is unheard of for Anne. You know that she's desperately sad if she's doing that.
When that comes out, when the old tears.
But, you know, pet grief is I think, incredibly, incredibly difficult to navigate and to manage.
Yeah.
And
they're
absolutely bittersweet pets. They are absolutely bittersweet because the time that you have with them, and you know, Tetley was only 7, the same as Roxy, still very young. You sort of feel a bit robbed. You feel like you should have had years and years left with them.
Yeah.
But I'd have picked Tetley all over again. Even if somebody had said to me he's gonna die at 7, I would have picked him all over again, and I'd have had those 7 years with him all over again, because the joy and the love that he brought us will be with us forever, really.
Yeah, so absolutely.
And if any of you are struggling with the loss of a pet, I think Andrew and I would both say it's really hard, it's really difficult to manage. And the Blue Cross offer pet bereavement support. So that's an organisation you can reach out to. I think they've actually got a helpline as well that you can phone and just chat to somebody when things are feeling bad. So, you know, make sure you reach out and get the support that you need, because the loss of a pet is, as Andrew's so eloquently explained, incredibly painful. Well, look, there we are. We've hurtled our way towards the end of another episode.
We have.
We hope you've enjoyed it. There's loads of places you can get in touch with us. You can find us on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com.
But we hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we'll be with you next week, helping you to find more of the funny.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.